Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Brihadaranyaka Upanishads, presented by Swami Jyotir Mayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Now, Chapter 1, Section 5, Mantra 1. Yat saptannani meghaya tapasa ajanayat pita ekamasya sadharanam dve devana abhajayat triniyatmane akkuruta pashubhya ekam paya chat iti. These are very ancient writings. They are very profound and difficult. They have been simplified later by Upanishad. This is Upanishad, but simplified by Gita and some other Puranas. The father of creation, by his knowledge and austerity, he produced 7 types of food. Here, food that is being spoken of is not ordinary. Ordinary food is implied. But you don't live by only the physical nutrition. Your personality lives on the basis of subtle nutrition. So not only you need to keep your body strong by nourishment, physical nourishment, you need to keep your subtle body strong by spiritual nourishment. Therefore, in the Triambakam mantra, Triambakam Jamahe, Sugandhim Pushti Vardhanam, if you are getting spiritual nourishment, 2 things develop. Sugandhim, you become fragrant, virtuous qualities develop. Pushti, you are watching a mango tree. 2 stages. Watch the spring season when the blossoms develop. And then you see the fruits coming up. And the fruits go on maturing into sweetness. Similarly, the spiritual potentiality within you should blossom, should bring fruit. And once a big fruit has come into a creeper, it detaches itself from the creeper. Can never go back to it. So in through your life, if you have acquired the fruit of your existence, if your purpose has been fulfilled, just like you have produced a big fruit, allegorical, it will never go back to the same limited condition that it was before. You become liberated from all limitations. That's called mukti, liberation. It is that type of nourishment we are now talking about. And the Father created 7 types of food. One is a general food that people eat, just physical food. Next type of food, food for gods. It's 2 types. Huta and Prahuta. Huta means oblations. You pour oblations into the fire. And prahuta means, along with pouring, you surrender. In simple language, described like oblations and offerings. If your life gets involved in creating that subtle yajna within yourself that purifies your heart, that removes your anger, hate, pride, and allows the good qualities to develop, that all this is nourishing the divine potentiality within you. Their nourishment. Then there is food for animals God created. Here by animals mean everyone, man, animals, all. And that food is milk, mother's milk. God already arranges before a baby comes how the milk is to be given and what should be the composition of it, etc. And that again becomes a allegorical language. Milk nourishes people physical way. In an allegorical way, milk is a milk of kindness, milk of the human heart. That milk exists in different stages. First stage of milk is adulterated. That's moha, a deluded love for others. Now, pure milk, you are on a higher level. Now, not just pure milk, churned up milk, butter. If could we create a butter type of nourishment, God himself becomes tempted by it. He steals, Krishna steals the butter. And the butter goes into clarified butter. And all that's giving you an allegorical way to understand that strange quality within your heart that's like a sweet milk, nourishes you and nourishes others. That milk is the food God has created. Mind, speech and prana. These three foods God created for himself. The other foods have been described, they are external, more bahirmukh, externalized. Now more intimate nourishment comes to you through your mind, through your speech, and prana means breath. Mind, speech and breath. And it relates to, in Vedantic terminology, manomaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, the various sheets, the intellect sheets, the mind sheets, the vital sheets. And in simple terms, manasa vacha karmana, thought, word and deed, the type of things, thoughts, you entertain in your mind. The language that spills out of your tongue. Actions that you perform. All these become nourishment for your soul. So these are the intimate type of foods that God has created. Anyatramana abhuvam nadarsham. Anyatramana abhuvam naschaushamiti manasa yeva pashyati manasa shrinoti, and so forth. All actions by mind, speech and physical activity, all these are nourishment for the soul. Desire, now different functions of the mind are being described. Desire, determination, doubt, faith, lack of faith, steadfastness, lack of steadfastness, shame, intelligence, fear, all these function in and through your mind. All these become the basis of nourishing the mind or undernourishing, depending upon how the mind is. If you are removing your faith, gaining sattvic, rather removing your doubts and gaining sattvic faith, if you are developing concentration in a sattvic way, thereby you are giving positive nutrition to your soul. Mind is a channel for spiritual food, food that nourishes your soul. If someone is touched from behind, he knows it by the mind. Just to show to you how the function of the mind. All things that you experience are in and through the mind. Someone touches you from behind, you don't see the touch. But the mind sees it. And even in our normal day-to-day life, your eyes are open, things happen. When you ask, did you see? No, my mind wasn't there. So actually, it's your mind that is experiencing through your senses. The mind is all in all, in all your life and experience. So that mind needs to be nourished. And pranas need to be nourished also. The whole project of pranayama, harmonizing the pranas, awakening kundalini, they are all implied in this project of nourishing your soul. Prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana, all these, the basic prana is functioning in different ways. The prana that operates through your respiratory system, that's called major, primary prana. That vital function that removes impurities from your body, called apana. The vital function that causes circulation in your body, called vyana. That which gives you a sense of buoyancy in your body and operates to bring about experience of dream and also separates subtle body from the physical at the time of death. That's called udana. That which balances all your pranas and gives good health to your body, that's called samana. Apana prana is located at the lower, at the base of your spine. Samana prana is located at the navel center. These are seats. Seat being there, the prana moves all over your body. Prana, major prana, mukhya prana is located at the heart center. Vyana is located at the throat center. Vyana is located at Swadhisthan Chakra, just above the base. And Udana is located at the throat center. All these pranas, they come into a process of harmonization, whether you willingly go through the practice. If you do so, it helps you. But even if you didn't willingly or knowingly do that, pranas begin to develop harmonization as your thinking process becomes profound and your personality becomes integrated. And this whole process is described in Upanishadic terms, nourishment. And it's this nourishment that will lead you to a profound realization. Ahara shuddhau sattva shuddhi. If your nourishment is pure, sattva, antahakarana, the mind process becomes pure. Sattva shuddhau dhruva smriti. If mind becomes pure, there is a profound mystic recall. Recall that I am not the body, I never have been the body. Dhruva smritau sarvagranthi naam vipramoksha. When you have that type of recall, then all the fetters, karma, kama, ignorance, all are destroyed.
Could you please speak to us about Annapurna Devi in context with all this food?
Question requires two aspects. One is, in what context your Annapurna Devi you are looking for? The type of, in my topic here, Anna relates, simple way to say, Devi is the same as Brahman, the absolute, mother aspect. And giving complete nutrition to the soul means letting the soul become liberated. That in Devi's palace, that food is limitless. She is the giver of food that completely nourishes you, doesn't keep you even slightest default. So Annapurna is that source from that allows the soul to become enlightened. Food that is wisdom, enlightenment. So that's the only food that makes you purna. Otherwise you get hungry and eat again. And then you need different types of food. But Annapurna is the giver of all types, concluding the ultimate, that means liberation. All types of foods culminate in amrita, nectar. If you have all the foods but not nectar, you are not Annapurna.
Is the palace of the Devi the heart?
Yes.
Swamiji, can you speak of the relationship or connection of prana and emotions?
Manomaya kosha and pranamaya kosha, they are interdependent. Pranamaya kosha acts like a vehicle. Mind is like the rider, and prana is like the horse. When you see a rider and the horse acting strangely, then you have two ways. Either you ask the rider to calm down, or do something to the horse, stop the horse. So both require attention, the rider and the horse. Now come back to another way to understand. If pranas are in disharmony, mind cannot be restful. If mind is not restful, clear thinking will not be there. It will be always backed up by sentiments, etc. On the other hand, if mind is restful, then pranas automatically become harmonized. Understanding that point, in practical world, whenever you want to give some message that is going to create agitation, you ask the person to breathe a little before you read out the news. News even of a lottery winning. Breathe a little. So, breathing is prana. Your mindset changes because of prana. The way you worked upon it. Emotion comes in your mind. Every emotion changes the flow of prana. If your emotion is very profound, joyous, those nadis that are very deep, they begin to function, prana begins to flow. If you are very sensitive, you feel in your heart a special opening, a special expansion. Prana has started operating that way. Otherwise, those nadis remain dry. Other nadis are there, they go on experiencing. They are exercised day by day. In any act of profound goodness, touches the core of your heart in a special way. Certain nadis that were never operating, they begin to operate. So therefore there is a sense of joy or a sense of peace that was not experienced by you before. I'm using partly an allegorical way. So that's the relationship with emotions and pranas. Your emotions are becoming devotional emotions. Your pranas will have a different type of, subtler pranas will begin to operate. And kundalini will begin to sniff through your spinal, through sushumna. Okay?
And just one more question. When you say sentiments, do you mean emotions or what are sentiments?
That you have to define which way you want to say. Sentiments can be emotional. They can be in different context in a deeper way. All bhakti attitudes are called sentiments.
Thank you.
Swamiji, before you talked about the will, emotion, reason, and action, it's very similar to the Stoics from Greece. They use the same terms. And my
question, they are also human beings.
My question is, for those individuals who are perhaps atheists, very hardcore in their minds, they talk about building virtue. They say, I don't need God for virtue. I can build this compass with the human effort. And my question is, can they live the life of virtue, or do we need to have the compass point to something greater than ourselves, like God? It seems like we need God to have a compass that can find the way.
Question requires subtle understanding, because the answer is not in simple terms. Because first point, No one is 100% atheist, no matter whatever person may say. And no one is 100% theist, no matter whatever they may say. And sometimes you'll be surprised, a person who has been saying, I believe in God, everything I do because of God. Another person says, I never think of God. But when you start studying both lives, the person who has been saying he never believes in God has done more good karmas, has developed a kind heart, and he believes in doing good. Only in language he doesn't want to put it. Therefore you should condemn him. If you do that, then it becomes very superficial. That becomes the basis of all the big troubles in the name of religion. Simply because there are so many people who do not believe the way you want to believe. And that becomes the basis of those ISIS type of personalities. Their heart is not touched by anything. Just mow them down because they don't believe. And if they don't believe, they can't attain liberation. They're spoiling the world. This form of thinking must completely must move away. Language doesn't mean, even in the family with many religious people, children have all heard about religion all the time, but there comes a time, say, Mama, I don't believe in your Vishnu. I don't believe in Rama. How can monkeys help a person? If you are too orthodox, become too agitated, what will happen to my son? He will go to hell. Hell and heaven, these are not so easy things.
Swamiji, one last question. My clients, I do the therapist, and many people believe that their value is only their actions. If they did badly, their stock goes down. If they did well, their stock goes up. And they always ask me, they say, I really did intend to do well. Mm-hmm. I started with the correct goal, mm-hmm. and then I fell away. Mm-hmm. But what are intentions? Take my intentions and 10 cents and maybe you can buy some coffee. My intentions don't matter. Only my actions. Only my actions. And I always say, you're not a machine. You're not a simple machine that puts out a product.
And that's correct. What you are saying is correct. But if they don't listen to it, don't worry about it. Tell a machine you are a machine, and a machine doesn't listen to it. Doesn't matter.
Is there a value in the intention? In other words,
again, the same thing. There is no one who can work unless there is some intention we have. The person doesn't want to accept it, doesn't matter. Anybody can say, oh, I simply act, I don't think. Thought, word and action all go in line. Sharing. And with this I'll conclude. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.